Welcome to In Season, where we explore the farms and gardens of the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff. And it's mid-June, and I'm not going to lie to you. As a farmer, I am crazy busy right now, and I completely forgot that I had a show today. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and was like, oh my God, I got to do a show today. I don't have a guest. And I thought, okay, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to actually do a show that I've been thinking about for a while. And that is to talk about resources for gardeners. And so my delightful engineer, Kate Brister, is leaving her microphone on. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about resources for gardeners and farmers as well. And part of the reason I wanted to talk about that and why I think this is a good time of year to do it is that this is a time of year where everything is exploding. Things are growing finally in our gardens. Some things are growing, some things aren't. The weather's been crazy this year. And it's also the time when a lot of problems start to show up. This is when a time you start to see a lot of pests show up that maybe you've never seen before or you haven't seen them in these numbers. Maybe some plants are growing really well, but others are not, and you're not sure why. And oftentimes people have a lot of questions, and where do you turn for answers? And there's a lot of different places you can turn. For myself, I will say that for most of my life, when I've had a question or problem, I've turned to a book. I'm a huge bookaholic, book addict. I have so many books, and I'm also married to a book addict. So we have a house that's just like a library. And recently, I started to edit them. I started to pull everything off the shelves and go through them and look at them all and decide, is this one to keep? Is this not one to keep? And I have so many books about gardening and farming on so many different topics. And it was interesting to go through them and see which ones was I like, yeah, I'm ready to let go of that one. Maybe I'm just beyond it now, or it seems kind of dated, or, you know, yeah, it doesn't really do it for me. It never really did it for me. And then other ones where I'm like, nope, I am holding on to this one. This one is still good. I still go to this book. And that was sort of a fascinating process for me. I want to say up front, I haven't gotten rid of any of my husband Packy's books because I'm not that kind of person. But my books I'm editing. And so I want to talk a bit about some of those books, and then we're going to talk about some websites and resources and other things too. So, Kate, just off the top
I have a question for you, Teresa. Uh-huh. So what had to make your cut for what was a keeper?
Well, I think it had to be a book. Some books I'm just sentimental about, and I'll hold on to them even if I rarely ever look at them. And it's usually maybe somebody I cared about gave it to me, or it had mm-hmm. some meaning for me. But for books where I actually use them, they had to have information that was still relevant, or where I feel like the information was easy to access, where it was understandable, it was relevant to where I'm growing, answered questions. And I think, you know, that might be different for different people. There may be a book that I think is fantastic that someone else will think is useless, and vice versa. So you know, take all this with a grain of salt. These are books that I find relevant. And I will say that the one that I honestly feel like if someone just, you know, held a gun to my head and said, you can only keep one book out of your entire library, one book, what would it be? And it's crazy that I'm saying this because it's not the sexiest book at all. And I honestly couldn't find my updated version of it. But for this area, it's the Maritime Northwest Garden Guide. It's put out by Seattle Tilth, and it's a small book. It's like a large magazine size format. It's soft covered. They have done a new and revised edition, and I couldn't find my copy of the new and revised edition, but it's really great. But this book is amazing. It's kind of like a calendar year. It's for the Pacific Northwest. But bear in mind, it's written out of Seattle, and it's for the whole Northwest. So, you know, they take into account your microclimate, but it's really good information about what grows here. Time, like each month has a list of like what to start indoors, what to plant outside. And then they have short articles about things like composting or attracting native pollinators or container gardening, different stuff like that. And I go to this book for a quick reference over and over again. The information's really solid. And I would say, like, if you have someone who's just beginning gardening, or, you know, a new neighbor that's just moved in, maybe from a different area, this would mm-hmm. be a really great gift for them.
Well, it's a beautiful book, too. It's beautifully illustrated with line drawings.
Yeah.
And it's fairly easy to find, actually.
Yeah.
It is sold, I believe, at the Blue Scorcher in their magazine rack.
I think it is. So anyway, the Maritime Northwest Garden Guide. It's put out by Seattle Tilth. And if your local bookstore doesn't stock it, harass them to stock it, because they should, because this is a really, really good, solid resource. And I think that if you're a gardener in this region, and you know, and I started out as a gardener and moved into farming, I still, as a farmer, will dip into it periodically and go, what's that thing? You know, what is that? Oh, you know, when to start this, you know? And it's just a great, for me, it's just a great, great resource. My other, I mean, there's the classic book, you know, Growing Vegetables West of the Cascades by Steve Solomon, which is a really great book for the Maritime Northwest. It's a little wordy and a little dense, and I think sometimes can be a bit intimidating, especially for beginning gardeners, but it's a great resource and has some really good information in it. You know, it's a bit of a chewy read, so, mm-hmm. you know, bear that in mind, but it has some really good information on specific varieties and how to grow them, and I've definitely found it to be a good resource mm-hmm. for our region. There's the more general sort of Western Garden book, Sunset's Western Garden book, which was honestly, like, you know, back when I was, you know, 19, 20 and learning to garden.
That was the go-to book, was Western Garden.
That book taught me how to garden mm-hmm. and helped me through a lot of, like, tearful, why did it die, you know, moments. And, you know, it was a good one, you know, and I think it still has some solid information. I mean, it's for the whole Western United States. So again, you know, it's not super specific to where we are, mm-hmm. but it's a really, I think it's a good resource. Some of my other ones that I love, I will say, like, one of the things that I'm thinking about a lot right now, because I'm having some really interesting pest problems on our farm. So resources that help you understand insects and pests and identify them. And I think one of the best ones I've got, there's these Max Field Guides, Max Field Guides, and they produce these really cool little laminated sheets. And I have one that's Max Field Guides, and on one side it has good garden bugs of the Pacific Northwest, and on the other side it has bad garden bugs of the Pacific Northwest. And granted, they're illustrations, and you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to tell if that bug that's hopping around on your plant, and then you're holding this guide up to it and looking at it and trying to compare them and say, is that the same thing? I don't know, but it can be a good jumping off point. So check it out, Kate. I mean, see
you
what
bet
you think.
It can. Actually, when I was taking Master Gardener classes in 2009, we were awarded one of these,
yeah.
and I still have mine, and I still use it.
Yes, I know. I will walk out into the field with that, and just sometimes I've had things that I mean, especially in the last few years, if we had some really hot weather, really unusual seasons, I've had some insects show up on my farm that I've literally never mm-hmm. seen before, and I have no idea what it is.
And Teresa, don't you think we're seeing, you mentioned earlier in the show that we are seeing infestations of different kinds of pests this spring
mm-hmm.
and more of different kinds of pests this spring than we have before.
Oh my goodness.
Is that because of the wetness and the odd temperatures, or what do you think?
It's got to be the weather. I mean, I think that we haven't, even though we had a pretty cold, wet winter, we didn't really have a lot of, like, hard killing freezes.
That's
and
right.
Those are what you need to kill off some of those insects over the winter, kill off their overwintering populations. And so when they don't die over the winter, there's a lot more of them to emerge in the spring. And I will just say, I had an apocalyptic emergence of flea beetles on my farm this spring that I wasn't expecting, because I was thinking, well, it was cold and wet, and that probably got rid of some of them. And oh my goodness, no. So slugs have been, slugs and snails, very prevalent. I know that's causing a lot of tears in some gardens. But this Max Field Guides are a great kind of at a glance. And again, it's laminated, so you can take it out
off.
You can take it out in the garden. It can get muddy. You can get it wet. You know, you can forget it outside, as I have done, and then go out and find it the next day. And it's a little damp, but it's still okay. So those are really great jumping off points to start. There's another really great book called Bugs of Washington and Oregon by John Acorn and Ian Sheldon. This is published by Lone Pine Press. And it's got some really big illustrations in it, which I kind of use. They're drawings, again. They're not photographs, but they're really good drawings. And to me, kind of in combination with the Max Field Guide, mm-hmm. I feel like those kind of get me through understanding probably what I'm dealing with. And when you understand the pests that you've got, that gives you a point of, like, what am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I feel like some of the resources that we have locally, Kate and I were talking just before the show started, like, our first go-to spot would be Extension Service. Oregon State University Extension and Washington State University Extension both have great resources for both gardeners and farmers. And I will just say for Oregon, I'm going to give you the website. If you go to extension.oregonstate.edu, and if you want to go straight to gardening, you just /gardening. Or if you just go to the Extension website and then click on the gardening link, that'll take you to their gardening information site. And they have a lot of great information and resources on their website that you can look through: information, guides, handouts, identification stuff. That's a really good resource. But then if you want to talk to a live person, which sometimes is what you need, both the Clatsop and Tillamook County Master Gardeners are great resources for gardeners. They have, this time of year, I think that both groups have clinic hours in their offices, where there are master gardeners at the office that can take your phone calls. You can drop in and ask questions. And this is a great place to bring, if you have a damaged plant, if there's some bug that's eating a leaf and it's doing some damage, you can bring the leaf in. Or if you capture
a bug,
or if you can capture the bug, or if there's some disease that seems to be happening on your plants, you can pull some of that up and put it in a Ziploc bag and bring it in and have them help you try to identify what's going on. And that, to me, is the key thing. Before you start to treat it with anything, you have to understand what's going on first. And
Real knowledge. I really appreciated that, because once I had read about it and I had looked at it as a picture, if I still wasn't sure, I did go into my extension office. I did talk to a master gardener, or I talked to one of the terrific extension officers there that were able to give me the deeper, better information than just the book. Yeah. So I think we're really fortunate here in that our extension officers are really, really want to work with the population.
Absolutely.
And responsive.
And I feel like, I know for some people, it might seem a little dry and scientific, but honestly, for me, it's the fact that it's scientific is what gives me confidence in it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cover every topic, but that's because, for extension to put out information on something, it has to have been researched and tested. And that usually means field trials, observation, reports written, multiple year studies done to document and determine, yes, this treatment works in these circumstances if you do it this way. Yes, this insect causes this damage. Yes, these cultural things can cause this disease. And that kind of research behind it, to me, gives confidence when they recommend a treatment. It's I know that there's a lot of research that's gone into understanding that treatment. I love, word of mouth and folklore and all that stuff, like the next person. And sometimes I also think that in addition to extension, one of the best resources that you have are your neighbors. If you have someone in your neighborhood that has a beautiful garden, just walk down the street and knock on their door. Or if you see them out working in their garden, talk to them and say,
I have to absolutely give a shout out to my former neighbor, Sheila, who is exactly that kind of person. She is a very instinctive gardener, if you can understand that, but has also taken the time to do research. That's her passion. Mm-hmm. And boy, I used Sheila a lot as a resource.
I mean, I think just go and ask questions. And what do you do? What variety are you growing there? Does that grow well here? Hey, what do you do for this insect when it shows up? And a lot of times that experience, they may not be able to quote some research, paper that documents why they're doing what they're doing and why it works. But a lot of times they can tell you, hey, this is a good plant to grow, or don't even bother with that because it just doesn't work around here. And what's cool is if you're talking to somebody in your neighborhood, there's someone who's growing in your microclimate, and they are going to be able to tell you and share information with you about that. So definitely talk to your neighbors if you have questions. But also take it with a grain of salt, because, the thing about a lot of the kind of anecdotal, my grandmother always used this when this happened, and da-da-da, or you should always plant your peas on President's Day, or those kinds of things. I think it's way better to go with what you personally experience, observe the weather, what are your conditions in your garden this year. And then also trial and error is important too. And if you're just looking up something on the internet and someone in, Iowa says, my grandmother always said to use this on, for slugs or this for, cucumber beetles, maybe it's going to work, maybe it's not. Maybe it only works there. So think about the source of your information when you're looking up questions on the internet, as I guess is what I would say.
With gardening and organic farming, at least in this area, becoming so much more popular and of such an interest to people who even don't garden or farm it. I'm just trying to segue into Packy's plant porn.
Oh God!
And the trouble we get into.
Yeah.
When we read sometimes magazines and we see the pictures of what it should be or what it did do in someone else's garden.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it look like that in ours?
So Kate is joking. So my husband Packy, I have some plant catalogs that come, seed catalogs. When they start to show up at our house. Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's some that are just terrible. And I think probably the worst one comes from Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. They're based somewhere in the Midwest. And it's just this glossy magazine of beautiful photographs of vegetables and flowers that just are like, oh, I totally want to grow that. It's so beautiful. And you want to buy everything. And or you're looking at magazines and it's just, it's just so tempting and terrible. And you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt and think about, you know, what's going to grow where I live? What are the things that are going to do well where I do? Having said that, I want to give a shout out to a couple of catalogs that do give really good growing information in them. One of them is Johnny's Selected Seeds. They're based out of Maine. Their catalog is thick and big, and they carry a lot of different stuff. And it's maybe not the sexiest catalog out there. The pictures are nice, but it's not a beauty catalog. But the information they have, like just little boxed inserts with growing information, and then their website has a lot more growing information and tips and stuff like that as well. And it's solid. It's really good stuff. Johnny's does a lot of research as well. They have some trial farms in Maine where they do a lot of research, and their general growing information for different varieties is really, really good. Also, Territorial Seed Company, which are based here in Oregon, their catalog has a lot of great growing information on different varieties as well. So again, if you're just looking for general information about growing cauliflower, growing broccoli, or growing beans, it'll talk about plant spacing and, you know, when to transplant outside, just different cultural needs that plant has. And so those are just some great places to start. And that's information that's both on their websites as well. And I'm looking at the clock and realizing that I should probably just do a station ID and let you know that you're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. And we are streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you're just joining us for today's In Season, I'm chatting today with my delightful engineer, Kate Brister, and we're just talking about resources for gardeners and farmers and things to, you know, how to find answers to questions that maybe are showing up right now in your gardens and potentially on your farms. And I wanted to just do a brief segue to talk a little bit about farming. I know there's a lot of people in our communities that are just starting farms or thinking about taking that move from being like a large gardener to maybe being a small farm. And I think about back when I started, and it's been like 14 years, which is kind of terrifying to me. But there's so many things that I wish I'd known then that I know now, and resources that exist now that didn't exist then. And there's one book that did exist back when I was starting, and it was a book by Elliot Coleman called The New Organic Grower. And Elliot Coleman is a small farmer in Maine, and he's got an amazing farm out there, and he grows mixed vegetables year-round. It's kind of incredible. And this is a really solid book, I think, for a lot of small farmers. It was written back, I think, in the late 80s, and it's been revised and updated, but it's a really good resource for people who are thinking about starting small-scale farming. But there's been a few new ones out there that I would say, if you're thinking about starting a small farm, I would read these three books first before you start, before you like put a shovel in the ground. One of them is not so much about how to farm, but it's kind of about having building a sustainable farm, and it's called Farms with a Future. And the author is Rebecca Thistlethwaite. She's based here in the Pacific Northwest now. And it kind of profiles a lot of different farms all around the country. She had been running a small farm, I think down in Northern California. It had kind of not worked out, and she took some time off and traveled around the country and visited with a lot of other small farms and heard kind of success and failure stories. And from that sort of distilled, these are some of the key things that farms people need to do in making a small farm viable. And it's a really great resource, very inspiring, and gives you a lot of solid information that I think could help you avoid a lot of the mistakes that certainly I made and many other small farmers make when they're just starting out. And then two of the other ones that have come out in recent years that are really good. There's one called The Market Gardener by Jean-Martin mm-hmm. Fortier. He's a farmer based in Quebec, in Canada, and it's a small book, very easily readable, really great. I mean, it's a great system for growing, producing on small acreage, a couple of acres or less even, and it's got a lot of good information and resources out there. And then another one that came out in recent years is a book called The Lean Farm by Ben Hartman, and it's really good with information about how to be efficient in your farming operation. And when you're a small farm, if you're looking to be profitable, efficiency is everything. And this book, I mean, you don't have to take everything that he says and does, but it's got some great ideas for how to make your operation more efficient. So again, if you're just a beginning farmer or you're thinking about farming, those are some resources that I would really dip into first before you take that leap, because I sure wish I'd had those books before I started. I think mm-hmm. they would have really helped a lot. So anyway, those are my things. I wanted to say too that, you know, this time of year, I don't necessarily have a lot of time off to just hang out and read. I wish I did, but in sorting through all of my books, I started to look at books that are books that I would just read for pleasure. Books that inspired me or books that I thought were just kind of interesting and fun. And, you know, I think it is important if you garden and if you farm to stop and, you know, sit down and, you know, get a cup of tea, get a cup of something stronger, depending on the time of day, get a good book, sit in the sun and read and just relax and enjoy what you've been, you know, working so hard to create, if you can. And it's funny, the one book that I pulled off the shelf that I decided I'm going to start reading again this summer is The Botany of Desire by Michael Pollan. And I read that book years ago. It was so inspirational to me. And if you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it, you totally should. I think there was a PBS series based on it that was made, but honestly, I think the book is better. It goes into so much more depth. And he profiles four plants that really modified over time based on their relationship with human beings, you know, how human beings modified the plant. And his theory, too, was like how the plants, you know, modified the humans. And it's a fascinating book. Really fascinating, very well written, and I figured it's definitely time to reread it again. There was another one that I was given to me as a gift, and it was called Gardening at the Dragon's Gate by Wendy Johnson, and she has helped manage the gardens at Green Gulch Farm and Zen Center in Northern California, just north of San Francisco, for a lot of years, and it's a very readable book. I mean, it talks a lot about gardening and farming, but a lot about, you know, and a lot about Zen meditation too. But it was a very readable book. I found it still kind of relevant, even though it's, you know, for Northern California and not for this area. But, you know, it's a good read. I enjoyed it as well. Another one that I've really enjoyed is a book called This Organic Life by Joan Gussow. And she's a writer in New York State. And this was a story of she and her husband moving from a very established large garden to a new property that was smaller and different and kind of starting a garden over again. And it was a very fascinating book to read at that time. And again, not so much like a how-to manual, but kind of an inspiring book about gardening and why we garden and what drives us to do that. And I would say that, you know, in many ways that impulse is similar for gardeners and farmers.
Don't you think you need that nourishment for your spirit, too? You're engaged in a lot of hard work, but it's good hard work.
I think it really is. And I think it's important this time of year when things do get kind of crazy. And I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying
and
it to everybody else.
It is disappointing a little
well,
bit.
Well, it's hard.
Spring.
It is. This year has been challenging. The weather's crazy. You know, yesterday it was so hot outside working. I seriously thought I was going to get heat stroke. I mean, I had to stop and go sit in the shade. It was so hot. And this morning it's cold and misty, and I'm just thinking, is this going to burn off? Is it not? I don't know. You just kind of don't know what to think, and I think our plants don't know what to think.
Well, have you been experiencing, like, they're dormant, like super bolting?
Yes.
Like bolt in a day?
Yes. It's crazy. I mean, I had so many plants that I thought weren't going to do anything, and it's like they've gone straight from tiny and I don't want to grow because it's too cold to bolting and now it's time to pull you out and nothing in between, which seems very unfair. So I think, you know, don't be discouraged this year, especially if this is one of your first years gardening. Oh my goodness. Or if you know someone who's just starting to garden, please go talk to them and say, hang in there, you know, because we're all struggling this year and trying to make sense of it. And I think, again, by sharing information and resources and telling stories and commiserating with one another, or I mean, celebrating the successes, mm-hmm. you know, when you finally get a ripe strawberry that the slugs haven't eaten or the birds haven't eaten, it hasn't gotten like destroyed
that
by rain.
$1 million strawberry.
Like, oh, strawberry. Yeah. I mean, those are definitely things to celebrate. So, you know, take time to read a good book if you can. Check out a good website. Definitely talk to your master gardeners and your extension service. And, you know, if you have questions, find a person to ask, walk down the street and ask your neighbors, or if you see me out and about, you know, restocking plants over at the Astoria Co-op, flag me down.
Aren't you at River People's?
You know, I'm actually not at a farmer's market this year. I'm taking a year off from farmer's market. So you got to kind of catch me at the co-op when I'm restocking our plant stand. But definitely, and people do ask questions. I can't promise I know the answers to everything. I really don't know the answers to everything, but I can maybe help you point you in the right direction. So thanks so much for chatting with me today, Kate. Thanks, everyone, for putting up with me and my kind of off-the-cuff show. But I think these are really good resources. And go out there and do whatever you can do today to make your garden look a little better. Pull some weeds.